David, we were talking about the old brain, new brain. We'll let you finish up on that, and then we'll move on to some other topics here.
I think the take-home message here is that we want to strengthen our connection to the new brain. We want to strengthen our connection to the sophisticated brain, which is our gift, as opposed to always functioning day-to-day by strengthening our understanding and our relationship to the primitive brain. We're not, you know, primitive beings. And, you know, again, through this idea of neuroplasticity and enhancing the ability to make good connections through the appropriate nutritional choices and lifestyle choices, we can enhance that process just as we can enhance the meditative process and the ability of the brain to really gain access to information that we know is out there. So, you know, the take-home message is that we don't have to spend 8 years at an ashram or in deep meditation to really become in touch with the real key players in terms of brain function. That through the beauty of what we now understand in terms of gene expression, through making certain lifestyle choices, by eating certain foods and by fasting occasionally, by getting good physical exercise, by eating foods that are rich in a specific fatty acid called DHA, that we can turn on those genes to build a better and more efficient brain.
When we think, we hear, at least I do, I hear a voice in my head, it's me, telling me things, you know, don't do this, do that, you know, if you're going to turn right, turn right. But you can hear your brain. You can actually hear the thought pattern, okay? Am I getting clear on that?
Sure. It's called the coin of mental commerce.
Okay.
It's the inner dialogue or the inner monologue.
What causes that? It actually sounds like you can hear it in your head.
Well, you know, this is what thinking is all about. I mean, you know, we judge right and wrong, and we explain to ourselves why we should or shouldn't do something. But, you know, it's when the inner dialogue becomes counterproductive or destructive, that when those voices or that inner conversation becomes destructive, that we have pathology. And that's what schizophrenia is all about, where people begin to, you know, hear other voices in their
brain. Right, not their own.
Telling them things. You know, there are more than, there are people in there that are giving information that may or may not be productive. So, but this is common. I mean, this is what the thinking process is all about. And interestingly enough, one wonders what is it like for individuals who've had strokes in the speech center of the brain.
Uh-huh.
What happens to their inner dialogue? Well, you know, it turns out that there are two fundamental areas of the brain that deal with speech: receptive speech, where we understand what we hear, and productive speech, where we actually are able to tap into what words mean and then construct those words into meaningful syntax, which is what language is all about. So it's something that's been looked at, you know, extensively lately. What happens to that inner voice when an individual's lost the ability to speak or at least understand speech? And it's very, very compromising.
That's interesting. That is fascinating. And what message would you like people to take home tonight?
I think the most important thing is that, again, and I just mentioned it, we now understand the chemistry of how the brain wires itself and how the brain accesses this powerful ability that we've been given, you know, the gift of the human brain, this incredible supercomputer that we carry around. And through the ages, we were doing those things and really didn't know why we were doing those lifestyle activities that allowed our brains to work so much more efficiently. But beyond that, so now we know in chapter and verse exactly what we can do to make the brain more efficient. That's what I wrote this book about, Power Up Your Brain. So it's cross-cultural. It allows individuals, without any regard to their religious preference or their state of meditation, it allows them to build a brain that will easily rewire itself. And, you know, that has implication in terms of creating a brain that would be more resistant, for example, to injury should it be traumatized or experience a stroke. But beyond that, allows the brain to do things more efficiently, to gain function, to become more intelligent, and ultimately to allow us to gain access to those parts of the brain that really define us as human beings. You know, we're probably the most empathetic creature in the forest, certainly the hopefully the most compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly, you know, this unique thing that we have is the ability to plan for the future. So, you know, we can change the brain, the hard wiring of our brain. What an incredible concept. We do it through gene modification, which we now understand. We do it through specific activities.
We had a video on last week of a chimpanzee, a mother whose little 16-month-old baby died. And she was holding the baby, and then she put it down. And I got to tell you, Dave, it's one of the most heart-wrenching things I've ever seen. She'd walk up to this dead little chimpanzee. She'd put her finger on the neck where the pulse is. She couldn't feel anything. She'd walk back. She'd come back and stare at it a little bit. She'd, you know, smack it in the head to see if it would move. She'd come back again. Her other members of that chimpanzee group would come and do the same thing. They knew. I mean, they actually knew. Her brain was functioning and knew there's something wrong with my little child.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, again, what defines us as being so sophisticated is our ability to function based upon our emotional sensations. And, you know, that's a good thing when the emotions are about loving and about protecting.
Mm-hmm.
But when those emotions are about acquiring wealth at the expense of others, and about, you know, killing thy neighbor,
Then
you know it's completely dysfunctional. It doesn't need to be that way. But you know, my work is really all about creating good internal environment for the brain to be as healthy and functional as it can be.
Well, what makes the brain do that? I mean, what makes the individual nice and loving and sweet? And then you have someone else who's a killer, a serial killer. It's bizarre,
well,
you know, the case
both
in Tucson.
Nature and nurture. It's, some of that is, unfortunately, is genetic. A lot of it, though, is environment, especially early environmental events. But, you know, not to take it to the extreme of the serial killer, but let's just talk, for example, about, for example, kids with ADHD, which is so prevalent in our society.
Sure.
It's 25% of kids in our schools.
I think a lot of that's sugar, but that's where I'm...
Well, yeah, my point is, so we know that the brain, like any other organ in the body, has an ideal set of fuels, et cetera, that need to be in place for it to run in an optimal way. You know, you don't want to run cheap gas in a car that only will run on unleaded, or it will not. You can't give a kid the wrong kinds of fuel or food that is contaminated with pesticides, et cetera, and expect that kid to perform well.
Right.
And the key ingredient in the kid who needs, which kid doesn't, but the key ingredient for the most optimal functioning brain is a specific fat called DHA. And for your listeners, I'm not saying DHEA, that's a different kettle of fish, no pun intended, but DHA is an omega-3 that is, for example, rich in fish oil. The reason people say that fish is brain food. But it turns out, as fate would have, and I asked this question during my lectures to, you know, wonderfully qualified doctors, and I say, you know, in talking about DHA, what do you think is the richest source of DHA in nature? And, you know, they'll call out, well, mackerel or sardines or krill oil, on and on. And oddly enough, the richest source of DHA, this incredibly important brain fat in nature, is human breast milk. Now, that's, I think, important information. Why is that? Because that's the key player for building a better brain in many, many regards. Number one, your brain is 70% fat. I don't mean, George, I'm not being rude to you, but our brains are 70% fat. And structurally...
Mine is 60%.
Well, of that fat, 25% of it is DHA. So just in terms of building the brain, a quarter of your brain's fat is this incredibly important fat, DHA, that we as humans barely make through our physiology. Mm-hmm. It's really through our diet.
Why is that ingredient so important?
Well, aside from the structural considerations of being 25% of your brain's fat and your brain is 70% fat, here's the other big player with reference to DHA. As you would expect, where I'm leading is DHA is a critically important epigenetic factor. DHA turns on the genes to build a better brain. It turns on the genes that stimulate the growth of new brain cells and even the connection of those brain cells and the pruning of the brain cells or the getting rid of those connections that are less important. So in that regard, it's a powerful epigenetic factor, and it's why we, you know, we're so involved in recommending breastfeeding. But beyond recommending breastfeeding to build a better brain for a child, mother has to have a high intake of DHA so that mother's milk is rich in this brain, this vital ingredient for building a better brain.